This hour is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, the nation's leader in independently owned and operated talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
She's a TV star, a Broadway star, a best-selling author, a wife, and a mom. She's gifted with the memory of a superhero and the energy of a teenager. Now, here's Mary Lou Henner.
Happy Labor Day weekend. It's the end of the summer. A whole new season is starting. And, I just hope that you're going to take some healthy habits and move them into the fall season because it's like the best time to do it. Much better than than any kind of New Year's resolution. That to me is always seems counterproductive. All right. Imagine this. Can you believe there is a little panda who decided to fake a pregnancy. This story is so crazy. This sounds like something Jay Leno or David Letterman would talk about, but I'm talking about it. There is a panda. You know, pandas are very rare. They're endangered. They're very sweet. They take a long time to get pregnant, to have a baby, etc. There is they have a research center in China where they're given like special treatment when they're pregnant. So they're in beautiful rooms and air conditioned and great food and everything. It sounds like a spa. Anyway, this panda actually faked a pregnancy until it was like almost time for her to give birth because they can't do ultrasounds. And they realized, okay, the panda's totally faking it. All right. So my question is, what would you do for better treatment? What would you fake about your life in order to get better treatment? You know, because, I mean, this panda is very smart. I had no idea how smart they were. But it's, it's amazing. I didn't even know that female pandas, they can only begin mating once they hit 4 or 5 years old. They're only able to mate like 3 days each spring, and they will mate every 2 or 3 years. No wonder they're endangered. They never do anything about it. Can you imagine if we were...
It's kind of sad.
Yeah. I know. But the panda actually faked the pregnancy in order to take advantage of improved living conditions. But would you ever do anything like that?
Well, what are the signs of a pregnancy from a panda?
I think that they thought that she was pregnant at first and then probably lost the baby.
Oh.
The baby. And so, you know, she just kept it up because she wanted the air-conditioned room and the food, I guess. The fruit, nuts, buns, and bamboo.
I mean, I'm in. I do anything for air conditioning. It's hot here.
That's probably what happened. Somebody donated a skull to Goodwill. This is like crazy end of summer story. what would you donate to Goodwill and how... talk about, hoarding. That's definitely something that...
I walk my dog every day, and I've got the best-looking dog in the neighborhood named Stanley. He's a collie mix. We meet the same people every day. They'll say, oh, he's so soft, and he's so silky. And these dogs that have the brittle hair, it's coarse. It doesn't lay nice. It's not shiny. It's dull. I tell them about Dynavite.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Sundance's coat was shiny and glossy the way it had when she was a puppy.
We get asked all the time at shows, how do you get your dog so healthy and shiny and glossy?
It didn't take very long. They've got their nice, expensive jogging suit on, and their dog has their smooth, beautiful, soft, shiny coat. So now their dog looks just as good as they do.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Over 1 million people have chosen Nexium 24-Hour for frequent heartburn. And now you can save $6 at Nexium24Hour.com. John, Jack, Dave, Miranda, Claire, that guy that serves you coffee, your boss, your boss's boss, Amy, your wife's best friend, your best friend, Michael, Jim, Jill, Alex, Alexandra. Yes, many people are choosing the purple pill. See what you've been missing out on. Get Nexium-level protection without a prescription for frequent heartburn. And for a limited time, save $6 at Nexium24Hour.com.
May take 1 to 4 days. Use as directed to treat frequent heartburn. Not for immediate relief. Limit 2 coupons per household.
If we continue to consume our natural resources at the rate we do now, by 2050, it could take 3 Earths to meet our needs. The Earth can't speak up when it needs help, but we can. Be the voice for those who have no voice. Visit worldwildlife.org.
There are more than 143 million children who are orphaned each year. Their future can change with your help. Support SOS Children's Villages in their mission to provide loving homes for vulnerable children. Visit SOSUSA.org for more information.
You're listening to The Mary Lou Henner Show. If you'd like to call in and talk to Mary Lou, the number to call is 1-844-4-HENNER. That's 1-844-4-H-E-N-N-E-R. Here's Mary Lou.
Happy Labor Day weekend. All right, so if you're thinking about, you know, doing a little, like, purging this weekend in terms of cleaning out your closets, your home, or you're watching a little Hoarders, be very careful where you send some of your things, because they actually found at Goodwill someone donated a human skull. And they think that it was, this person only died within the last 2 years. So I don't know whether this was some family member. They can't determine the gender, the age, things like that. But they do know that this skull was in the kind of condition that was only 2 years old. And they think that probably what happened is that somebody, you know, they had like a collection it was like an anatomical model or something like that. Like it might have been a doctor or something.
I hope so.
Yeah, but because where's the rest of this guy? But also 2 years, you know, you could see, oh, it was 40 years old. Then you think like, okay, it's, you know, some doctor had it in his office or whatever. But 2 years, it's kind of suspicious, you know. So I'm trying to think of what was the strangest thing I ever. Somebody, a friend of mine once found an ear or a finger. Sorry, not an ear, a finger. A friend of mine once found a finger in our neighborhood.
Like a finger,
like a bone, or like a finger person. No, like a person's finger.
Oh,
still had some of the skin on it and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. Very Stand By Me, if you know that movie.
At the Goodwill, or
no, not that might be a little more suspicious.
Was it on sale?
Yeah,
but at least that person could be alive somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. We grew up. Our house was right on a boulevard, and it was we were right near the freeway, the expressway they call it in Chicago. And so right where the boulevard and the freeway kind of met, or because the freeway, the expressway was over the boulevard where we lived, people were always going off over the guardrail. Yeah. We saw more car crashes. We saw more things that happened in our neighborhood because it was an interesting kind of, it was like a kind of a turn in the expressway. And one time we saw a car just go careening off and over, and there was, you know, we saw all kinds of accidents as kids. We just lived in that kind of
neighborhood. Yeah, this is a morbid childhood.
Yeah, just I think because we were so close to the expressway. I think if you live near a place where you can have accidents, you see all kinds of body parts go flying, chunks of cheek and side cars, and, you know, things left after the hospital, after the ambulance took the body. You know, but I think it strengthens you as a kid. I think if you've ever, you know, depending on your faith or the way your family grew up or what happens, there's something about seeing a dead body very young in life that really takes some kind of fear out of it. You know, I don't know if you all grew up in any. I was raised Catholic, so of course we saw a lot. I'm sure by the time I was 10 years old. This is cheery Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
I'm sure that by the time I was 10 years old, I saw probably 100 dead bodies.
Oh, wow.
You know, people laid out in funerals.
I have not seen 100 dead bodies yet.
But have you seen
Maybe
any?
I'm on my way.
Have you ever seen someone who was dead?
Yeah, I've seen a couple, like, coming out of a hospital, ambulance type things.
Oh, but nobody you knew and never at a funeral or a wake?
No, remember there was Julia, and that was that whole deal. That was a little, there's a fine line between, like, trauma and, like, you know, seeing dead bodies, you know what I mean?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So, just to, Brooke, there was a girl in Brooke's class, she was in eighth grade. Eighth grade at the time, and I knew her father. I knew her father very well. In fact, I had lunch with him just a few months before. And it was a horrible situation, and it was the wrong moment. She was getting on the school bus, ran for the school bus, got hit by a car, then got hit by a second car. And in front of 30 kids sitting on the bus was killed. And it was just one of, like, this shining star in their class. I mean, it was, the kids were so distraught. And then later on, I guess when you guys were juniors, you lost another member of your class. So having been exposed to that as a young kid, what and somebody that you knew, was it, did they dealt with grieving experts at school? You had psychologists and stuff. Do you think that your class, because they suffered so much with these two horrible situations, losing classmates, do you think that they bonded more? I mean, what do you think the impact of their deaths was for your class?
We grew up faster, and whether or not that's a good thing, I mean, only time can tell, but we learned important lessons about, you know, the basic truths of life, such as death,
right,
when we were a little too young to understand them. That's kind of when you're the age that you're figuring things out, and that, you know, when it's running through your head that, like, wow, you know, no longer does this person exist. And, you know, their voice, their mannerisms, they're like, what happened? I remember thinking over and over again, like, what happens to all of her things, like all of her clothes? You know, do her parents just keep them? Do they, you know, donate them to Goodwill? You know, like, I don't know,
right,
what happens,
right,
what happens, sure, to those kind of things. And it's weirdly the logistical questions that got me more than the philosophical questions.
Well, because you were,
I knew,
in
I was
eighth,
like,
grade, sure,
exactly. I was like, okay, death is like this thing that happens to everybody, you know, and you come to understand that, like, there's an end, you know, and whether or not it's imminent, there it will come. And then, like, then you think about, like, well, you have to pay for a funeral,
right?
That sucks. And, you know, I don't want to
right, of course,
spend money. You know, my child just died. I don't have to, you know, it's all like,
you don't want it to be a whole thing. You don't want it to be some kind of business thing.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. You know,
involved in some kind of business transaction. Oh, no. And her parents were devastated, as you can well imagine. And the whole, and Justin Carr as well, the boy that you lost, the kid in your classroom who died junior year, right? Mm-hmm. It was junior year. I mean, you know, kids go through years and years and years of school without ever having a classmate die. And you had two. I mean, your class.
And not to mention, two others who were just, who were at our school, just not in our grade. I mean,
yes.
It's we've been marked with tragedy, but I guess that's also, it's
part
it's
of life.
Kind of,
yeah.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing that, like, I don't think it necessarily means anything. It just happens, and you deal with it the way that you deal with it.
So did you have discussions with your parents about it? Did they talk a lot about it at school?
Oh, yeah. And
yeah,
honestly,
sure,
I feel like it became almost too much of a topic where, you know, when you're going to let the, you know, let the deceased lie in peace, you know, because
right,
it's like so much about, like, is everybody okay? And that's the thing about being in LA, and especially with a very high quality, you know, private school education, they're so concerned about the feelings and emotions of everybody around you that it's like, okay, what about when it's ready to, I'm ready to go back to math class, you know, I'm ready to go back. That was one of the,
yeah, and you feel guilty.
Things.
You have, like, survivor's guilt, I'm,
yeah,
sure.
Like, well, the, yeah, the, and the thing was, is like, you know, what do you, Where do you stop grieving and start living? You know, what's
right,
that? Are you?
Because you're not
going to
forget.
Yeah.
You're not going to forget. I mean, going to Catholic school and having so many people. I mean, we had a boy in school who was leaning over the banister, very excited about his first grade birthday. He was going to be 7 years old. And he was in first grade. He leaned too far over the banister and ended up, we saw his body being carried. I mean, you know, I could tell you all these, like, images and all the dates and everything else because of my memory. But it definitely, I think, especially because you see so much of it, it becomes part of that process, you know, becomes like the circle of life. Sometimes this happens. Sometimes, you know, there was a girl who had an abscessed tooth in my high school who ended up dying from the infection in her mouth. It was like such a shock. It was like, what?
Oh, my God.
Wait,
yeah,
over the weekend this happened, you know, and, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, so you kind of process it in some way. But if a lot of time goes by and you haven't been exposed to it, you know, and there are many kids that never do, how do you deal with it as a parent? How do you talk to your child? You know, how do you get them to understand, you know, what happens and how do you process grief and then be able to move on from it afterwards, you know? So it's very interesting to, you know, it's a big discussion. And, I guess what I'm really saying is, be careful this Labor Day weekend, you know, be careful because really appreciate your life. I think that's what it is more than anything. Appreciate the time that you spend with your loved ones, with good friends, doing the things that you love to do, because we are here such a short time, and, you know, we should just appreciate every single moment that happens, you know, because we should, because it's important to. All right, speaking of kids, How do you raise a healthy eater? Now, do you have certain rules at your house that become very important for your kids to follow? You know, I always say if you build it, they will become. And if you have the good stuff at home, then of course your kid is going to follow suit because kids aren't going to starve themselves. You know, kids want to eat. But, you know, I have to ask you, Brooks, your generation has probably been exposed to more medical opportunities in terms of, you know, setting bones or kids who might have, like, health issues. It's moving very quickly, much more than it did years ago. But do you feel that your generation is eating well because, you know, I don't know. What do you think?
I think we're kind of the, I mean, of course, every generation is the snack food generation, but we are a special snack food generation. I mean, we have commercials, we have access, we have anything we want, and it's up to, you know, whether or not your mom buys a Rice Krispie treats or not, you know?
Right.
It's like, and even if she doesn't, you're going to go to the friend's house who does.
Yeah.
And kids, there's that, you know, sugar, salt, fat, that craving that you have.
Yeah,
it's just being exploited daily.
So
daily.
You're even aware of it at 18 years old?
Oh, I'm like, fully aware of it, but I love it. You know?
So you don't care. I mean, it's like, so what would it take to get kids on board with being healthy? I mean, is it good to appeal to kids in a vanity way? Because, you know, I think at every age, kids will, you know, it's like you have natural vegetarians at 5 to 8 years old. I mean, kids don't want to hurt animals, so if you kind of appeal to that part of them, then they might be cutting meat or some of the unhealthier foods. Also, kids love to shop, and they love to, like, make things in the kitchen at that age, so they like the responsibility, and they might make healthier snacks. But now as teenagers, is it better to appeal to a vanity thing like your skin, like your hair, like your tiredness, like, you know, sports, things like that, you know, your energy, things like that?
Well, it's a big thing, especially out here, you know, the whole health food explosion that is going on. It's like, it's the popularity of, you know, being fit, being healthy, looking well, feeling well, all that is kind of, that's the cool thing to do. And I guess that's the best thing possible. But the truth of the matter is that's not everywhere.
No, it isn't.
You know, it's not. They're
all you have to do is go travel in some places. Go to the airport.
Go to Walmart.
Yeah, see the food that's available to you and see what, you know, what people are eating and doing. And you know, it's just, you know, you can just look around you and you know something is wrong. But I feel like the hope is with kids. And I feel like what's happening, though, is that we are seeing, you know, type 2 diabetes in children that are 5 and 7 years old. We're seeing kids with cholesterol over 150 and closer to 200 in 5 and 7 year olds. So, you know, we know that there is this obesity epidemic as well as this lack of health epidemic that's happening. And I worry sometimes that it's getting worse for kids. So what, you know, if you were in charge, Brooks Hutchins, if you were in charge of getting kids on board with health all over the country, what would you do?
Well,
here's your challenge. I mean, yeah.
It's a tall order. health food.
I mean,
you got to make it taste good. That's the first step.
Do you think that it's the idea that people's palates have been so destroyed.
Oversaturated.
So many years of super salt and fat. Super sugar and fat.
But it's changing, and it's slowly changing. We're getting there. And there are, I mean, for example, I would say, you know, sushi, not the worst thing you can eat.
Right.
Fish is, you know, there's...
Yeah, you worry about the mercury, but okay. Well, pick
barring mercury.
Yeah, but pick fish over some of the other, you know, fast foods with huge paragraphs to describe them that are full only of chemistry. But do you feel, let me ask you something, because you're an athlete and you're an actor and you're a brilliant student and, you know, you're off to college. Do you feel it? Do you guys feel it the next day if you eat a lot of junk? If you spend a day
They don't.
Well, are we talking about Taco Bell at 2 a.m. because you do feel that the next day?
No, but do you feel bad the next day from any kind of bad food? Do you have any kind of reaction yet?
Well, I'm. I guess maybe it's just me, and I think my friends too were young enough to be pretty much unaffected by what we eat and still be able to.
We hate you.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't want that food anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, so I'm able to, I'm spoiled with the, I don't know if it's my, if it's the...
Genetics.
But I don't,
yeah.
Just,
no, you're
I'm
naturally
able to,
thin. Yeah.
I don't have to, that's...
Yeah, it's not a big deal for you.
Right. Yeah, but there, I'm very keenly aware that there, that is not the way to eat. And then also
no, but
I'm going
so off
on
do you
on
feel tired the next day? Because I'll tell you, I put on 25 pounds the summer between high school and college. I went away to work at a resort. I worked like a horse, and I ate like a pig. I mean, I worked so hard that I wore a waitress uniform the whole summer because I was working in a Nipissing Manor Resort as a waitress, and I literally could feel my uniform was bulging by the end. When I walked in, my family was so shocked that I had put on 25 pounds in 7 weeks. That's not an easy thing to do unless you are eating like a crazy person.
So it wasn't the freshman 15?
It wasn't the freshman 15. It was the summer before freshman 25. And my family was like, Mary Lou, you know, what happened? No, my mother even recommended that I take up smoking.
Wow.
Mom.
She said, oh, you're taking up smoking. You're not going to be this way. I know. It's so crazy. I didn't even like smoking. But, you know, so I put on, and then I continued to gain weight. And I gained weight, and pretty soon I was, you know, 54 pounds heavier than I am right now. And so I just felt like, whoa, you know, what happened to, and I finally had to get smart in my 20s. And lose the weight, but I had that weight on for a while, and you know it took its toll on me, not only health wise but ego wise. You know, I felt like I wasn't putting my best foot forward when I was in college. I felt like I didn't look or feel the way I wanted to. I wasn't going to have the career I wanted to, et cetera, et cetera. But I wonder, you know, I was maybe lucky because it was so obvious that I was not eating the right foods for my body. But you know, maybe because you're a boy. You're genetically predisposed because of your family history and stuff not to be heavy. So, but it's not just a weight thing. It's a feeling thing.
Yeah.
You know? So did you ever go through, Courtney, did you ever go through anything where you felt like, oh, like one day you ate like a teenager and a crazy, the way most teenagers eat, and then all of a sudden, bam, you know, you woke up one day and said, because you're naturally thin too. So did mm-hmm. you feel like,
yeah, right before college started, I gained like 40 pounds.
Right before college. Like, me too.
Mm-hmm. And I'm really short.
You're tiny.
So I look like a little Cabbage Patch doll. It was not cute.
Right before
and
college.
My metabolism just slowed down.
Maybe it's different for girls.
I think there's something that happens with women in that transition from like a teenagehood to adulthood where you really have to be conscious of what you're eating and be very active. I feel like guys have it a lot easier.
They do. Well, even, definitely. You know, even like later on in life, they don't even have to be 18. See, I know I was eating my feelings because my father had just passed away and I was not dealing with it.
Right.
But what were you doing? No, but 40 pounds. 40. 40 pounds is a lot.
It's a lot.
For a tiny little girl like you.
Yeah.
I mean, are you even 5'2"?
5'3" and a
five,
little
three.
Change.
She's adding tiny some height.
That's
it was a lot. Yeah.
In a short period of time, too?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I also lost it in a short period of time.
Yeah. Because sometimes it's like that new fat, you know, it's like it goes on your brain and then goes away. It took me a while. It took me a couple of years. Healthy eating.
Over a million people have chosen Nexium 24-Hour for frequent heartburn. And now you can save $6 at Nexium24Hour.com. John, Jack, Dave, Miranda, Claire, that guy that serves you coffee, your boss, your boss's boss, Amy, your wife's best friend, your best friend, Michael, Jim, Jill, Alex, Alexandra. Yes, many people are choosing the purple pill. See what you've been missing out on. Get Nexium-level protection without a prescription for frequent heartburn. And for a limited time, save $6 at Nexium24Hour.com.
May take 1 to 4 days. Use as directed to treat frequent heartburn. Not for immediate relief. Limit 2 coupons per household.
Young people everywhere are making a difference.
Special Olympics has changed my life so dramatically.
It's helped me a lot to be fearless, you know, in the real world.
My friends I've made through Special Olympics are the best people I've ever met in my life.
I truly realize that what I'm doing is for a great cause.
And it's not about disabilities, but it's about celebrating your abilities.
I've made a difference. Now it's your turn to make a difference.
Get involved at SpecialOlympics.org.
Summertime is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know summer is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for summer specials, including all sizes of colloidal silver, colloidal minerals, and intestinal freedom on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, and Metabolic Complex and Pro-Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Wormwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and look for summer specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, like when the jeweler ruined my ring and wouldn't do anything about it. But when my Legal Shield attorney called him and told him what my rights were, I received a check for over $2,100. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com, or call 855-340-SAVE. Again, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
If you own a business, you need customers, right? Well, your potential customers are listening to this radio program right now, and I can help you reach them. Hi, I'm Matt Brower, a national marketing executive at the radio network responsible for this program. I can help you customize a national radio campaign that fits your budget, large or small, while targeting your specific audience. Contact me to learn how radio advertising can make your business more profitable. MBROWER at GCNLive.com. That's MBROWER at GCNLive.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
You're listening to the Mary Lou Henner Show. If you'd like to call in and talk to Mary Lou, the number to call is 1-844-4-HENNER. That's 1-844-4-H-E-N-N-E-R. Here's Mary Lou.
Happy Labor Day weekend. And if you just joined us, we're talking about raising a healthy eater and what happens to kids when they don't get exposed to good food later on. And it turns out, according to Brooks Hutchins, one of our sit-in co-hosts today, at 18 years old, you're not feeling, well, except if you're going to 2 a.m. Taco Bell. Why are you going to 2 a.m. Taco Bell?
Don't ask me.
Let me guess that.
Don't ask me.
And they like it. Yeah, I know. I know. No, but it's really amazing how much your reaction to food changes over the years, you know, whether it's or hydration or alcohol or sleep or mm-hmm. exercise, it just changes. And what you want to do is develop some good habits early on so that you're not all of a sudden shocked. I know so many people who are having trouble moving, and they're not even that old, but because they never appreciated movement to begin with, they're finding themselves, you know, 40 and 50, and all of a sudden they don't feel mobile at all because they never were active to begin with. So fall in love with exercise early for sure, and encourage your kids to move as much as possible. And if you've got children at home or you're trying to become a healthy eater, some of the things that you should probably do is you've got to make it convenient. You've got to help your kids sort of empower them to make some healthy choices. And you have to get rid of the clean plate rule. I never understood
that. Oh, we didn't have that.
We didn't have that either. It's ridiculous. You know what that is, Brooks?
Well, we have to, you know,
finish your plate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. Because some days you just don't feel like eating, especially as a kid. I know my boys would go through growth spurts where they'd eat a lot, and then sometimes when they weren't interested in food. And I never said you have to eat everything on your plate, you know.
Well, I was also lucky enough to grow up with my mother would make a meal every single night with good fresh ingredients from the grocery store, which not only saves money, but will, you know, set you up in the long run of, like, you know, my both my mom and dad cook, and they both cook healthy. They are consciously healthy
your mom's
cookers.
Gorgeous. Well, and your dad's very handsome.
Oh.
But your mom, she's the mother of four boys, and she is crazy great looking. I mean, she's unbelievable.
And I think it just, that's, once you get into that habit of, you know, 5 nights a week or whatever, you sit down around the table, and it's also, it's a family thing, you know, it's bonding, and you're eating good food, and it's like, whether or not you're cleaning the plate, you know, you got some broccoli in you. So
that's good.
I do think that if you set up some healthy habits as a parent, your children are going to adopt those as adults. You know, it's
true.
I did not have soda growing up in my house ever. I never buy soda in my house now.
Yeah.
And it's not that I'm like, oh, I can't do that. It's just I really don't ever think to do it.
You're right.
Because we had to have a really great salad for every dinner.
Oh,
like, that's
good.
Like a big deal when I make dinner.
Yeah. I know, it's funny, all those little things that you do. We actually had two Pepsi machines in our house.
Oh, my God.
We had two Pepsi machines, one in our basement, one in our dance studio, which was really our garage. And we'd go through 11, 12, 13 cases of Pepsi a week.
Wow.
And a lot of it was for our family. I mean, my mother lived on Pepsi. We all lived on Pepsi. We never drank anything but Pepsi in our house. When I decided to get healthy, I'd moved from Pepsi to Tab. My first thing that I would get rid of, was soda.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is worse
pure
for your
sugar.
Body. It's sugar or it's pure chemicals.
Yeah.
And it's all that, the bubbles, and it's bad for digestion, and it's just wasted empty calories that are chemically, you know, destroying everything else that you're eating.
Well, you've seen those videos where Coke actually can break down pennies.
Yeah. Pennies or rust off your car.
That's what it's doing to your inside.
I know. Yeah. I know. It's like a battery.
You could actually use, Coke on your battery to get all the corrosion off your battery off from your car.
Oh, great. That's my organs.
That's what you want it for. I know. So, you know, but I know the harmful effects of growing up with too much soda and how it's important to, like, you know, get rid of that soda, especially for your kids. All right. Tom Gagliano is with us. He's a life mentor, author of the book, The Problem Was Me. It's about bullying. So big in the news. He's going to tell us how to navigate it, especially if your kids are involved, and especially if you're involved. He used to be a bully himself and has been bullied.
Hi, I'm Mary Lou Hanner. When was the last time you felt healthy? Are you waiting for someday to become the person you know you were meant to be? Sounds like you need a total health makeover. You've got questions? Well, we've got answers. At MaryLou.com. Coaches, classes, and community. All about health. No support at home? Doesn't matter. We've got people who want to get healthy, just like you, and people who can show you how to do it. Recipes, tips, and a program that works. Tailor-made for you. Give yourself a total health makeover at MaryLou.com. Lose weight, boost your energy, get rid of cravings, conquer self-sabotage, and learn to give your inner brat a timeout. This is your chance to become the best possible you. And the greatest part of finding the best you is the journey. So take the first step at MaryLou.com. That's MarilU.com. MarilU.com. See you in the chat room.
Research shows it's not just what you put in your body that counts, it's what you put on it as well. Why not use an all-natural, healthy, mineral-based makeup that actually benefits your skin? Once you experience the airiness and flawless coverage of Youngevity Mineral Makeup, you will never use anything else. With Youngevity, the perception of your complexion will be natural perfection. Animal-friendly mineral makeup at Mary Lou Health. That's MarilUHealth.com. Or call 855-321-HEALTH.
From the makers of Block It Pocket, we bring you a serious message about the health risks associated with cell phones and wireless devices. Studies have shown that long-term exposure can contribute to an assortment of health risks. Block It Pocket offers you two new products designed to help alleviate your concerns. See these two remarkable products at blockitpocket.com. Call 888-315-9618. Free shipping to the lower 48. Blockitpocket.com. Enhancing health and privacy.
Americans, prepare for financial ruin. That is what one of the world's richest men, Donald Trump, said just a few weeks ago. What are you doing to prepare? The problems that caused the last financial crisis were never fixed. In fact, they're even worse now. The total amount of debt in the U.S. has grown by more than 57% since September 2008. The too big to fail banks are much larger, and the massive derivatives bubble is spiraling so far out of control that the only thing left to do is watch the spectacular crash landing that is inevitably coming. If you're a baby boomer with retirement funds, it's time you consider exiting the Wall Street casino and start a cash-flowing international business of your own. There may be ways to preserve your wealth, but history has shown that few things can grow your wealth like having your own business. The crash is coming. Take measures now to soften the landing. Go to babyboomerbackupplan.com or call 888-507-8789. That's babyboomerbackupplan.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
You're listening to the Mary Lou Henner Show. If you'd like to call in and talk to Mary Lou, the number to call is 1-844-4-HENNER. That's 1-844-4-H-E-N-N-E-R. Here's Mary Lou.
You know, you can't open up a newspaper or watch television or turn on the internet without hearing about bullying these days. It's so out in the open, especially if you have kids or you care about anyone. But it happens everywhere. In the workplace, it happens everywhere. And really, what is it? But it's just considered repeated aggressive behavior, you know, where one person, maybe a group of people, they're in a position of power. They go to deliberately intimidate, abuse, or coerce an individual. And they want to hurt that individual either physically or emotionally. Well, you know, bullying can create scars that last a lifetime. And the man you're about to meet is an expert in bullying. He's here to share with you how you can protect yourself or your child from intimidation and fear. So let's give a warm Mary Lou Henner Show welcome to the author of The Problem Was Me, Tom Gagliano.
Thank you
so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So you wrote this book because you felt like people weren't saying enough about it, that you know, we weren't coming clean about what actually bullying is.
Bullying.
Why did you want to write this book?
Yeah, bullying to me, like addictions, it's a symptom. It's really not what the problem is within the person. That's the acting out symptom, acting out with bullies, with addictions. For me, I grew up, I believe everything stems from childhood messaging. I believe that we receive a lot of messages in our lives from the media, peers, teachers. Media tells us how to dress, what to wear, what weight to be. They want to sell their products, but nothing's as powerful as the messages we receive from our parents. I believe that childhood messages influence the intimacy we have or don't have in our adult life, our parenting skills, the careers we choose, the roles we play, all tied into childhood messages. Now, for me, I had a tough childhood, a lot of abuses, and I was a victim first. I felt depressed.
Wait, when you say abuses from your parents?
Abuses from my parents, from the Catholic school I went to. From all of these areas, and I felt depressed. And what I did is I wanted the world to pay the bill. I had an anger inside of me, and I didn't know how to talk about that feeling or have healthy coping mechanisms. My parents didn't have them, so I acted them out. I hurt others the way I was hurting inside. It was power. I wanted to do what other people did to me. Eventually, I went into addiction, another symptom, an acting out behavior. Not the problem now. The problem is that brokenness inside, that negative self-talk, those intrusive voices. And when I went to addictions, the one thing I did know how to do was I was a good business person. Make a long story short, eventually my wife left me because when it came to relationships, I didn't know how to do it. Too afraid. And at that point, I really had a decision to make. I either had to fix what was broken in me or I was going to really spend a very lonely life. And I went through a lot of years of therapy and a lot of years of 12-step programs.
Well, let me ask you something. Was there one breaking point? You know, how everybody says you have to hit rock bottom before you really change your life. Was there a rock bottom incident that turned it around for you?
I think my wife leaving me was a rock bottom incident. I also think it was an amends my father made to me when he was dying in the hospital. And he looked at me and he saw I didn't know how to share feelings. I didn't even know him at all. I hadn't seen him for years. And he said, you know, I don't want to die here and not have you share your feelings with me. Tell me how you feel and tell me that you love me. He says, you know, 20 years ago, this is where my father was dying. And I could never share those feelings with him. And I don't want that to happen to you when I die. So my father freed me from a lot of my intrusive messages. And that were the two things that moved me forward. And then
did you wake up with him? Did you share your feelings with him?
Yes, I did. Created that. Now, my father was a 10-foot monster when I was a kid. He used to beat me. He was an alcoholic. If he didn't come home at a certain time, it meant he was going to come home drunk. It meant he was going to hurt someone. And I was the oldest. I was a kid at the stairs shaking, ready to come down and pounce on him to get him off my mother. So I hated this man. But this man went through a spiritual awakening through his program, and he started to understand what it was like for me. And he freed me from a lot of the pain that I grew up with. And eventually, that brought me to work on myself. And when I did eventually do that, I really had two goals. One, I wanted to give my children what my father couldn't give me. And that was a safe place to share their feelings. And two, I wanted to help others who had intrusive, negative childhood messages. And I started to run groups in churches and schools and in my house free of charge. Eventually, a couple of people told me to put this methodology in a book. And I wrote my book. Couldn't come up with a name for my book. My wife would always poo-poo every name I gave her. And one night I said, I got it. The problem was me. And she said, you finally got it right. You hit the title right. And that's how I
was
came
this
up
a new wife? Was this the new wife?
This is the one that waited nicely for me to fix what was broken in me.
Oh.
And I went from there to today. I facilitate groups, four groups a week, give couples consultation on how to give their children those positive and loving messages to stop that bully and victim mentality from occurring in their home.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that the pity should really be with the bully, because behind it there's a bully with a secret, some kind of abuse or some kind of negative self-talk or some kind of bullying that's going on at home.
Well, I believe, yes, I believe everything comes from negative self-talk. I think early on in childhood, if we develop negative core beliefs, and we don't know how to process those and talk about those beliefs, two things will happen. Either you're going to act out those feelings in destructive ways with bullying, with addiction, or you may act in those feelings with depression. And all of those things, the common ties is negative self-talk, intrusive inner voices. We've seen Robin Williams, who made so many of us laugh, and more, really, what a wonderful man. But
he was a friend of mine. He's incredible.
That led him towards suicide, and that's that negative self-talk is very powerful.
Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know. I mean, he was a friend of mine, so there's, you know, a lot of different levels and areas.
Sure.
But, you know, we know these kids in school. So you're looking at a little six-year-old boy who's bullying another little six-year-old boy, or maybe he's taking it out on a five-year-old boy. What do you think's going on at home with that six-year-old, and how do you even deal with him at that young an age?
First of all, I talk to that child alone, and I paint a picture for him, and I ask that child. I'll say to him, what do you think this boy Joe, I'll use another name, is feeling when he does this to this kid Steve? What do you think's going on with Joe? Is he mad? Is he angry? What do you think's going on with him? How do you think Joe feels when Steve does that? How does Steve feel? You know, remember something about bullies. They're fragmented. What you see on the outside is anger and aggression. What's on the inside is somebody who's broken, no self-esteem, no compassion for themselves. When they stumble or make a mistake, they feel like they are a mistake. So there's two parts to every bully, the inside and the outside. They're fragmented. They're not congruent at all. So I try to speak to the insides of that bully. It's easy to put a Band-Aid on everything and just say, oh, he shouldn't be doing this, put him in our timeout chair. A bully has to understand one thing. It's not that they're a bad kid. They made bad choices. There's a big difference mm-hmm. between being a bad kid and a kid that just makes bad choices. And if I can talk to them about the choices and affirm that they really are a good kid, but that choice that they made to hit, swing, or get angry really wasn't a good choice, and acknowledge any positive messaging that they come up with or tell me in the conversation and affirm that very loudly, not the bad behavior, but the positive behavior, I could start to reframe the thinking about themselves. As I said earlier, okay. You know, when my wife left me, what I realized wasn't that my wife didn't love me. I realized that I didn't love me. And as long mm-hmm. as I had that problem, nobody was going to get close.
Right. In case you just joined us, we're talking to Tom Gagliano. He's a life mentor and author of the book, The Problem Was Me, which focuses on bullying, repeated aggressive behavior. If someone had talked to you at your worst bullying age, let's say, I don't even know, maybe it was 15 to 12, 13, I don't know, years old, and someone had talked to you the way you're talking about talking to these young kids, how would you have responded? I mean, would you have had such a chip on your shoulder that this would have been some, you know, hot air from a grown-up and stop trying to get me all touchy-feely?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? But so how would you have handled it?
Well, I would first of all start to tell that six-year-old also how it was like for me when I acted in anger against someone, that I know what that's like to go and hurt somebody or hit somebody without really knowing how that other person feels. So even at six, I would start to identify a common thread. And I mm-hmm. would try to suggest that I know what that feels like because I did it. See, I would normalize some of that stuff. Not normalize that it's okay, but normalize that they're not a bad kid again. Even I did that.
Yeah, and show them that you understand what the feelings are like. So when you were a young kid bullying, and I don't know, what was your big age of bullying? Would you say the range of ages or went on for a long time, you said,
no,
but what about at school?
No, it didn't go on for a long time. My bullying was really a lot with my younger brothers, which I made mm-hmm. amends to. It really made me feel bad. And with some of the kids in the neighborhood, see, I didn't have the ability to have a thought and not react. And that's what I tell mm-hmm. people that come to me that have anger. You got to put a space between the thought and the reaction. I was the kind of kid that when somebody made me mad, I swung. There was no window between both. Not the thought, don't react. You know, process this a little, talk about this a little, so that you're not going to go and just, you know, take a swing at someone.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think we're seeing so much more bullying these days? Do you think it's just, it's always been there, but now we have, you know, we're out in the open much more? And what do you think of cyberbullying? Because here you've got these armchair critics who are able to cyberbully from the convenience and the privacy of their own homes, and yet it's bullying that's just as destructive.
There's two pieces to that. One is, yes, the world's much smaller. Social media, we all know what everybody's doing all over the place. That's certainly one thing. But it's really important to understand the mindset of a child growing up first. It's important to understand that children are egocentric. That means the world revolves around them. For instance, mm-hmm. when my dad is out drinking, I don't look at it as a child like my dad's got problems. He's just a mess.
Right, of course.
Instead, I say, what's wrong with me? I must be unworthy. That my father doesn't want to pay attention to me. What's wrong with me? Egocentricity. Now, what I think we have today is we have a lot of moms and dads work, which they have to. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. So we have, to some extent, bullying coming from healthier families where mom and dad are working, and they're working
because
they have to. But the child doesn't see that as such. They look at it like, what's the matter with me that mom and dad are always working? That's how children see it. And I think.
Yeah, but what about these kids? What about these girls? You know, the girls who are the cyber bullies who are in the princess bedroom. They've gotten everything from their parents they could possibly want. They've got this strong sense of entitlement. Nobody's bullying them at home because everybody is so afraid of them. What do you think about that kind of bullying? How do you address those kinds of bullies?
That comes from overindulgence, which is another piece of the problem we have in our society. You know, if my son is sad or unhappy and I buy him a video game to make him feel better, what's the message I'm giving him? I'm telling him mm-hmm. that if he's unhappy and he's sad, if you go out and buy a video game, it'll make you better. That child will grow up and maybe someday buy a bottle of scotch to make him better, or mm-hmm. pornography, or gamble, or overeat.
Or a car, or whatever.
So
live above their means. Right.
The wrong thing. We're teaching them that the outside entities can fix a sadness or pain inside. Very poor message that parents give to their children.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then, you know, then it's like hollow and shallow when they really get right down to it.
Right.
So
right.
What do you, I mean, in the book, The Problem Was Me, and we'll have a link up at, you can find a link at MaryLouShow.com. What do you most hope people get from the book?
Well, the very first thing is the book's about my story and the story of other men and women that I've helped kind of silence that warden, that intrusive inner voice that they grew up with. One thing I want people to get is that if you can't give your children the loving and positive messages that they need, then you need to get help. You need to go to a coach or a therapist. Two is the most important thing you can do for your children is create a safe environment for them, an environment where they can share their feelings, whatever those feelings are. If your child can't share with somebody at home how they feel, even if it's not what you want to hear, they're going to find the wrong people to do that with. You know, again, in my childhood, my dad called me his little girl. That's what he addressed me. Whenever I would show an emotion or cry, God forbid, I was his little girl. So I had a situation about 10 years ago where we had to put our dog to sleep, and my son was very close to the dog. And I remember walking into his bedroom afterwards, and I asked him, are you okay? He was 10 years old. He says, I'm okay, Dad. Well, I put his arms around me, and I put his head on my chest, and within seconds, he started to cry. And I realized, for me, what I was doing was giving my son a safe place, a place to cry in his father's arms. This was not a place I ever had as a kid. And I'm giving my children the messages that they can make a mistake in life. It doesn't mean they are a mistake, that they could fail.
And not only that, boys can cry. Boys can feel emotions. Boys can be, you know,
may not tell
feel
you that,
strong
and
about
a lot
something.
Of dads may not say that. So again,
I know
it's the messaging coming in that says, if you do this, you're defective, rather than, if you do this, you're being human.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's great. It's a great message, and I think that so many parents, you know, should heed the warning and the message in the book. Now, what do you say to the kids who are being bullied? Well, how do their parents deal with the other parents or the other kid that did the bullying?
Here's a couple of points. Number one, tell your children.
We have 40 seconds, so you have to make it fast. Sorry.
Tell your children that words can't hurt them, to walk away. And number two, let your children get out of some of their own messes. If they're in imminent danger, then step in and protect them. But if your child doesn't learn how to get out of some of their own messages, they're going to grow older, not know how to cope in life, and guess who they're going to get mad at, Mom and Dad? You.
Absolutely. This is like Brat Book 101. I wrote a book years ago with a brilliant psychoanalyst called I Refuse to Raise a Brat, and everything you're talking about is definitely in sync with the messages in that book. So thank you so much for being with us. Tom Gagliano, life mentor, author of the book The Problem Was Me. You can find a link up at MaryLouShow.com. Thank you so much for sharing your story. I hope you come on the show again because you're great. Thanks,
thank
Tom.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking to you. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Adam Miller here with Midas Resources. Today, August 29th, 2014, gold opened at $1,287.60. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,334.47, $667.23 for a half ounce, or $333.62 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,334.47, $667.23, and $333.62.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver are going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.